War will be over. Soon we will meet.
Before God created civil government, he created family. Before he created even the church, God created family. Families play a vital role in training the next generation. Commit today to nurturing and supporting families, especially your own. Families that are committed to God and each other can play a vital role in transforming our churches, cities, states, and nation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
I want to wish all the mothers today a happy Mother's Day, and also encourage those who have mothers, if they're still alive, to wish them a happy Mother's Day and to really honor them and cherish them. This is something that is so important. One of the things that we're going to look at today, we're going to look at the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. And this is really God's word, God's standard for motherhood. It's really the one of the key passages on motherhood. And we're going to read the entire chapter there. Proverbs 31, we'll see wisdom from God, not only for mothers, but also the mother imparting wisdom and instruction to her son in how he should live, and then also on his choice of a wife, because this is really important. It's very important for young men to be looking for the right things in a wife that they would choose. Quite often people look at the wrong things and don't really consider the character of the woman. And so beginning in verse 1, we hear the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Now this is interesting. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Who was King Lemuel? Lemuel is not a king of Israel, and there's some speculation about who Lemuel was. The Bible really doesn't tell us who Lemuel was. It's pretty unlikely that Lemuel would be the king of a pagan nation, and there weren't any other nations that were God's chosen people. It is possible, and some people do believe, that Lemuel was actually King Solomon, and that his mother was Bathsheba. And if that is the case, then this would show really God's redemption for Bathsheba. There's much written about the sin of David. We know that David committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had Bathsheba's husband killed in the war in such a way that it would look like he was just killed in the war, but really it was purposeful and it was murder. And both adultery and murder carry the death penalty. They were death penalty offenses. And adultery was a death penalty offense, not only for the man, but also for the woman. And it's clear that the Bible doesn't portray that interaction as a rape. Certainly, David was someone who was in power, and he had great power. And you might think, well, you know, Bathsheba would have needed to submit. But, you know, the Bible doesn't portray that as a rape. It doesn't portray David as forcing himself upon her. And really, had he done so, you would have seen the prophet Nathan actually call him out on that. And yet it is presented as adultery in the Bible. We see much about God's forgiveness and the repentance of David. You can read in Psalm 51 about David's repentance over that. And yet there's not a lot that is presented about the repentance and forgiveness of Bathsheba. But if this is Solomon writing this, and if his mother, Bathsheba, was the one who taught him this, then this would show quite a bit of God's mercy to not only David, but also to Bathsheba, who he committed adultery with. But this is the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what son of my womb, and what son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. So the admonition here is not to give his strength to women, nor to ways that destroy kings. One of the things that you do see happen quite often is that young men sometimes go after pretty beautiful women and really give their strength to those women and really waste a lot of time pursuing sexual pleasure. And really what God has designed is for us as humans prior to marriage to abstain from sex and to wait until marriage and to really not just seek a woman. You'll see about this later in this passage, but not just to seek a woman for her outward beauty, but to look primarily at the character of her heart. And so there's an admonition to not give his strength to women, nor his ways to those which destroy kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert justice, the justice of the afflicted. So you see here that kings shouldn't be intoxicated. Leaders of governments should not be drinking and altering their perception and altering their judgment with alcohol. Or in our case today, we also not only have alcohol, but we also have drugs. And kings and leaders should not be actually given over to drugs or to alcohol. And she goes on in verse 6, give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Wine at that time, alcohol, was their painkiller. If someone was dying, if someone was in extreme pain, they would actually drink alcohol at that time. They didn't have other types of painkillers like we have today. And even, you know, when you're talking here about those who are having a difficult time, who are bitter of heart, the Bible also in Proverbs does give, and one of the things you have to do with the Bible is you have to interpret Scripture with Scripture. The Bible also does warn against drunkenness and warns even against using alcohol for the purpose of deadening your pain and your sorrow. And really, even the Bible even talks about how alcohol can lead to sorrow. So I don't think the Bible here is advocating, and I don't think that the mother of King Lemuel was advocating drunkenness or someone actually wasting their life and getting drunk. There are a lot of people who abuse alcohol and pay the consequences for it. And you can read, I would encourage you to read the rest of Proverbs, and you'll see some of that. And you'll see some instruction on that. So one of the things that it says here in verse 8, open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who were appointed to die. So you see, and this is really something that each and every one of us should do, not just kings. All of us should plead for the cause, should open our mouth for the speechless, for those who can't speak for themselves. And we should also open our mouth for those who are appointed to die. This is especially pertinent for our day today. It was pertinent back then, but it's pertinent for our day today, because today, right now, today, there are preborn children in the womb who are speechless. They cannot speak for themselves. They can't advocate for themselves. They are appointed to die, or someone is actually making a decision on whether to actually pay an abortionist to kill their baby, or to pay an abortionist to prescribe medication that will cut off the necessary hormones that would allow that baby to live, and that then would provide another medication that would cause that woman to go into labor, premature labor, and deliver a dead baby on her own toilet. And this is happening today. There are even women who have already scheduled the procedure, who are waiting. And really, one of the things that is necessary is for men, a lot of times the men in those relationships are advocating for the death of their own child. Or in the case of a parent with a daughter that is pregnant, maybe even advocating for the death of their own grandchild. This is important that we open our mouth for those who are appointed to their own and advocate for them on their behalf. And that would include the preborn child who is still, even in the womb, created in God's image, is God's image bearer. God is knitting and weaving that baby together. God has a plan for that baby, and we should speak up on behalf of that precious, innocent human life. Verse 9, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Quite often in society, the poor and needy are taken advantage of. They're taken advantage of sometimes by the rich. They're taken advantage of by the powerful. There are people who are in authority in government who don't open their mouth, that don't judge righteously. There are people that see injustice happening, and for their own preservation, they are quiet. They don't speak that out. They don't call forth and call for repentance. They don't call to show and hold someone accountable for what they have done. But here we see that we are supposed to be bold. We're supposed to actually open our mouth and judge righteously and speak and plead for the cause of the needy. In verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. So a virtuous wife, a wife that is full of virtue, is more valuable than wealth, than rubies, than jewels. And you see here, the heart of her husband safely trust her, so that he will have no lack of gain. And this is something that's important. If you're a young man and you're not married, you should be looking for a wife that you can trust, a wife that is virtuous, a wife who you can actually leave and know that she's not going to be running around with other men, that she's not going to be being slothful, that she's going to be doing what is necessary to be done. And you see here that the heart of the husband safely trust her, and he has no lack of gain. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. This is the quality that young men need to be looking for in a wife. And if you already are married, listen, God tells us that we need to stay, unless one person is not a Christian, and that person that's not a Christian wants to depart from the marriage. The Bible does say if they don't want to depart, that you stay with them. You know, unless there's adultery that is happening, unless there's an unbeliever that wants to depart, the Bible tells us to keep covenant with those, to keep the vows, to do what we have promised to do, and to pray. You can pray for your wife that God would help her to become this, if she's not this already. So she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. So one of the things that you'll see sometimes today, certainly a lot of women aren't making their own clothes, and certainly we don't have sheep that we're shearing and turning their wool into clothing, and you know, actually taking flax and you know, turning that into clothing and other types of material. But one of the things that is important here is to note that she is actually productive, and she's willing, if necessary, to actually take wool and flax, and she's able to work with her hands. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. So she's making sure she's providing for her household. She's making sure that they have food to eat, even if she has to bring her food from afar. Now today we have it easy. We just go to the grocery store, and you know, we don't realize that food a lot of times came from afar. Sometimes, I mean, I look at where the food came from. You know, did this come from Florida? Did this come from the United States? Did it come from California? Did it come from Mexico, from Chile, from Peru, from China? You know, I think it's important. But a lot of the food that we eat is not grown in our own city. It does come from afar. And this is something that in those days they had to actually bring that food in. We have it very easy today. All we have to do, again, is go to the grocery store. And companies have already brought that food to us from afar. But because of this, we can eat foods that we wouldn't ordinarily be able to eat. And, of course, those other countries that are producing those foods, you know, at times, because grapes only grow in the United States a certain time of the year, you know, but we can get grapes from another part of the country, and those are another part of the world, and those countries are prospered because, and they're blessed because they're able to sell their goods to us, and we can partake in that. But you see that she was actually bringing this food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. So you see, she's getting up early, even before the sun is up. She's making sure that her family is provided for, that they have the food. One of the things you'll see is diligence. You'll see diligence and productivity in with the virtuous woman. And you see that she also did have some help. She had maidservants. She had some women that would help her with the work that needed to be done. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it, and from her profits she plants a vineyard. One of the things that you'll hear quite often, there are a lot of people in Christianity that will talk about that a woman should be in the house. And certainly you see the virtuous woman in the house. You see her providing for herself, but you also see her being working, and you see her even working outside the house. She's working outside the house in a way that she can still manage and still care for her family. So I'm not advocating women just working and abandoning their house. One of the things that does happen today is that there are women that actually are even delaying their family or avoiding being a mother so that they can actually pursue a career. And some of those women actually are getting to a place where they're realizing, hey, their biological clock is ticking, and the time that they have available to have children is passing them by. But you see here that she actually is working even outside of the house, and she's bringing in profits for the purpose of actually planting a vineyard and providing for her house. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. So you see her rising early in the morning. You see she's also up late at night sometimes to make sure that her family is taken care of and that she is actually able to meet their needs. So she stretches out, verse 19, her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. So one of the things, and this is really, these are tools that were used to actually make clothing and to spin various types of fabric. And so, you know, again, things are convenient today. We can go to the store and we can buy clothing that was made somewhere else, made by someone else. We don't have to spin our own thread and our own yarn, but we're still, children still need to be clothed. And she actually was willing to actually even make the clothes herself if necessary. So you see in verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, as she reaches out her hand to the needy. So you see the virtuous woman actually being merciful and helping those who are in need. And she's helping out those who are needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. And scarlet was not just clothing, but it was royal clothing. It was expensive. And she was actually able to clothe her family and to take care of her family in such a way that they were actually clothed with luxury. And scarlet also, because of the color, represents in the Bible quite often the blood of Jesus Christ, who we know when this was written, Jesus hadn't come yet. But we also know that the prophets and even King David prophesied about Jesus, that he would come, that he would shed his own blood for us on the cross. Verse 22, she makes tapestries for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. And so she's actually making her own clothing as well. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. In that day and time, the gates of the city were where justice happened. The gates of the city were where leadership of political leadership happened. And because she is diligent in working and managing the household, her husband actually has time to be involved in the community. He has time to be involved in leadership of the community and leadership of this city. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes to the merchants. So you see, she's industrious. She's actually making merchandise that she is then selling to merchants who will take those and sell them to other people, maybe in that area, or maybe even take them to other parts of the world and sell them. Strength and honor are her clothing. She rejoices in the time to come. So she actually is girding herself with strength and honor, not just being strong, but also being an honorable woman. And verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. So she speaks forth wisdom. She's instructing her children, and she also is kind. There's something about a mother. Mothers are kind, and there's something that we just can't replicate, the kindness and the love of a mother. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So she's not just sitting around being idle. She's actually being productive. She's doing what is necessary to provide for her household. her children, in verse 28, rise up and call her blessed. And this is something that every child, I want to encourage you, if you're a child, maybe you're older, but you still have a mother that's alive, rise up and call her blessed, bless her and thank her, not only on this day, but throughout the year, for the sacrifice that she has given for you. Her husband also, and he praises her, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. So, and husbands need to be praising your wives with this phrase. I wrote this in a card to my wife. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. A lot of young men look at beauty, they look at charm, and that's what they base their future spouse primarily on. And certainly God has created women in such a way that women are beautiful to us men. But we also, in fact, primarily need to be looking at the heart and the character that is there. And charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. You need to make sure when you're looking for a wife that she's a woman who fears the Lord. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. And I know when we talk about this and when we look at this passage, I've heard women say that they feel that they are just so inadequate, that they don't measure up to the Proverbs 31 woman. God's standard is high, and none of us measures up to God's standard. But all of us can seek to achieve that standard. And for mothers, I want to encourage you, if you're not this today, ask God to do a work in you so that you can become it. And husbands, love your wives and cherish them and pray for them and praise them. And children, praise your mother as well and thank them for all of the sacrifice that they have done on your behalf. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Before God created civil government, he created family. Before he created even the church, God created family. Families play a vital role in training the next generation. Commit today to nurturing and supporting families, especially your own. Families that are committed to God and each other can play a vital role in transforming our churches, cities, states, and nation.
Testimonies feed my faith. I love to hear about miracles. Do you too? Well, you can listen to my show. I'm Rhett Palmer. It's a new day every day at 7 a.m., 3 p.m., and 3 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 on your FM dial.
Praise is warfare when the enemy is coming against you. Praise is how you fight. God inhabits your praise. Just like God comes in. When praises go up, blessings come down.
Join Pastor Trevor Banks at 7:45 a.m. and p.m. Monday through Friday, right here on WCNO.
Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton of Just a Voice Radio Ministry, broadcasting here on WCNO 89.9, Saturdays, 5 a.m. and p.m. Come on and join us. Hope to see you there.
The civil government does not define your ethic as a Christian. That's critical that we understand that. And now maybe people will become more and more awakened to that.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I hope that you are listening to Renewing Your Mind on this station every day.
Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. and p.m.